I'll wait a little bit as people are joining. You guys excited? I am. Not gonna lie, I'm a little nervous. I don't preach very often anymore, and so I get the jitters again. I recently played soccer for the first time after about two and a half years. I don't know how long it's been. And I felt like a little kid again, getting ready to go play soccer. Do I still know how to play? I did. I did pretty well. I made the team. I'm good. But all joking aside, I am a little nervous. And just like with the soccer, like, can I still do this? And I can. Why? Because God's the one in charge. So as we move into this, I'm going to pray for us specifically to have ears to hear and a mind to hear God and let him move to you. Because what Paul is going through is incredible. And if you just read it as a story, it's not going to hit you as much as if you open your heart. So, I want to bring the reality of who God is and what he's doing. And before I go into prayer, just a couple of reminders. There's a task force right now that's looking at how to reopen our church. And so what I want to do is I want to pray for them as well. And I want to invite you to be praying. You're kind of informally part of the task force because you're part of the church. And if you care about the church, you should be praying for this task force because we want to make it safe. So just pray for the task force. And then, of course, as Matt was talking about earlier, it's Father's Day, and that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For many of you, it's a day to honor your father and celebrate and have his favorite things, whether it's barbecue or whatever. But for some that have lost our dads, it can be a tough day. And so wherever you are, I'm going to ask that you would be blessed and you would have a great day, whether you're on the mourning side or whether you're on the celebratory side or you're kind of both. I pray that you would either mourn well or celebrate well or both, because God doesn't ask us to shy away from what we're going through, but to walk with him. And so if you're celebrating, celebrate. If you're mourning, then mourn. If you're doing both, it's weird and mixed, do both. So Heavenly Father, we slow down during a holiday, in the middle of moving through a pandemic. Lord, we slow down. I lift up the task force to you to reopen. I pray that you would bless them with wisdom and more than what perfect steps to take. Heavenly Father, I just pray that they're walking with you. They would hear you. As we go through Father's Day, Heavenly Father, I pray that we'd slow down and we would celebrate our dads and lift them up to you in prayer. And Lord, for those that are hurting, I pray that you would help us to mourn well and walk with you through the pain of missing our fathers and grandfathers and other special dads in our lives. As we move into your sermon, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak. Help me to get out of the way. Lord, you tell us what you desire, and you bring us closer to you as you are the most important thing, person. You're everything, Heavenly Father. And so help us to connect with you. Help us not to read this as a story, but Heavenly Father, help us to know that it is true history with real people going through real stuff. And Heavenly Father, they were in pandemics, Lord. They lost people. Celebrating, they were going through trials, they were doing all the things that we do, maybe a little differently, but the key was you were there, you were in the fire, Lord, as it says in the song. Help us to connect with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I ask you to slow down. In the middle of a pandemic, as we're kind of coming through, some people are still suffering, some people are getting COVID and dying of COVID like now. So I ask that you would slow down. A lot of us get excited and we make a lot of mistakes. Some of my favorite leaders that I have been under are ones that have experienced a lot, so they don't get shaken very often, because they've been through storms, they've been through trials, and so they don't get excited. They, a lot of times, they're the calming voice. They don't do this with their emotions. They're a little more like this. It's not always going to be like this. Everybody gets excited. Everybody gets nervous for different things. However, there's something about people that on the lows, they don't crash. And on the highs, they don't go super excited to where they lose control, right? They're kind of a little bit less peaks and valleys and more smooth. And that's where I want all of us to move as Christians. We're going to go through hard times. But when you trust God, you will be able to walk in such a way that people know that there's something different about you. There's something going on that gets you through, that's supernatural. It's not just this part, like, oh, Mike is so good at life. Man, I am not good at life. I made so many mistakes. But when I trust God, I'm able to bounce back quicker and hopefully easier. And so what I want to do now is go to Acts chapter 25, and as we go into it, I want to quote a wise philosopher from the late 1900s. In one of his latest beer commercials, Snoop Dogg asks, "If it's true that time is money, don't you think the real question is how you should spend it?" Snoop Dogg, thank you. That was very wise. But seriously, like, they say time is money. And so time is valuable. And so what do you do with your time? How do you spend your time? It's a great question. And point number one is seek and please God. Seek and please God. Those are the two things that I want to start with. If you want to spend your time in a meaningful way, seek God. Not learn about God. Check this out. I'm never going to say, you know, don't do a Bible study. Study the Bible with everything you've got. But don't study it like you study history in school or science in school. This is not academic. I want you to seek God because he is real. Now, if you don't know God, then you are kind of more, it's more academic. You're finding out, could this Jesus really live 2,000 years ago, and is he really who he claims to be? So if you're seeking God, then, I mean, if you're not a believer, then, you know, seek him in a little bit different way. But if you know God, then what I want you to do is I want you to read your Bible, not academically, but to connect with the one that you love. How weird would it be if I studied my wife, Jen, academically, and I never really hang out with her and get to know her and really connect with her? That's actually one of the hardest things about marriage, is not just sitting next to somebody on a couch for hours, but connecting with your spouse. That's one of the lies about relationships. You know, spending time with somebody and having quality time with somebody is different. And you, quality time, love language, people know what I'm talking about. So seek God as he is real. All right. And then it's not just to learn about him and seek him, but then when you connect with him, like, please God, God is going to show up, and please him. Like, I used to talk about, being a waiter for God, right? What's a waiter's job? A waiter waits and looks at the customer, the patron in the restaurant, and when they need something, you go to them and take care of it, whether it's a drink or food or whatever. So, I have people, anyway. Wait upon the Lord and seek him and please him. So, let's go to Paul, because Paul was one of the GOATs, the greatest of all time at this. He had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of bumps and bruises, but when you look at his life, especially where we are in the Bible right now in Acts chapter 25, he's already been through a lot of trials. He's really connected with God, and he's really good at just following God. God, if you take me into a storm on the sea, I trust you because I've been with you so long. I trust you. If he's hanging out with Christians, he's loving on them, and he just enjoys the moment, and he brings God and points people to God, whatever they're doing. So there's three main groups of people in this chapter. It's a guy named Festus, who is the newest leader of the area. And then there's the Jewish leaders who are running Jerusalem, and they are in charge of the Jewish people and what goes on in the church there. And then there's Paul. The right answer in this story is try to be like Paul, because Paul sticks close to God. And so when we talk about, you know, Acts chapter 25, look and see what people are focused on and what they're doing. All right, verses 1 through 3. 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. They requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Going back to, like, how do you spend your time? Imagine you just became the leader of this province. A lot of presidents really focus on the first 100 days, right? Because what are you going to accomplish? And you want to start the ball rolling really strong. And so think about this. Of all the things to do, of all the things to take care of, Festus, within 3 days of him taking over, he wants to deal with Paul. And so not only does he doesn't just like start taking care of Paul, but he has to travel. He has to travel to Jerusalem. He's not in Jerusalem. He's in Caesarea. And he travels all the way to Jerusalem, which is like a whole day's journey for them. Like, so the within 3 days, the first thing he does is he needs to go travel to go find out what is going on with this guy named Paul. So he goes to the Jewish leaders to find out what's going on. Why are you so mad at this guy Paul? And remember, Paul's already been in prison for 2 years. We learned from Chelsea last week that this guy's in there for 2 years for stuff he hasn't even done. This guy's innocent, and he's in there for 2 years. So Fess is like, what is going on? So this is like one of the most important things that he has to deal with. And within 3 days, you know, he goes and does that. So I want to talk about this. Festus spends his time securing his political power. If you look in, like, going back to Snoop Dogg, how should you spend your time? Festus, in his short reign, unfortunately, like, he doesn't, you know, last very long. Sorry if that's a spoiler. Like, if you're into, like, ancient kings and queens or whatever. Anyway, he's only there for a little bit, but what he is doing is he's trying to keep the peace. So, in order to keep his job, and maybe even be elevated later to more important places or something, the more he keeps the peace, the better. And so this is one of the most important things to take care of. They have this guy in prison there. Why are some of the people in charge of the Jewish people so upset? So he goes off and finds out. And that's what drives him. That's what drives him. I want to keep peace so I can keep my power. And then let's look at who he's going to. He's going to the Jewish leaders. What drives them? The chief priests, after 2 years, and let's just look at the history of the Jewish leaders since Jesus' time. Jesus was God walking on earth. What did they want? They wanted to kill him. Had Jesus gone along with them, and they tried. They're like, you know, why don't you just do what we do? He's like, no, I'm bringing a whole new system. It's really not about you guys. That upset them a lot. And that's why they were so upset at him, and that's why they wanted to kill him. And eventually, they were one of the main reasons why Jesus had to get on the cross. Because they did not want to lose their religious/societal power. Everything goes through the priests. in the Jewish community at this time. And so they did not want to lose their power. So what did they want to do? I mean, like, they literally broke 10 commandments. The 10 commandments are, like, universally known, right? And they break, like, 3 of them. 1, you shall not murder. And they are plotting to kill Jesus during his time. And they killed Stephen. Like, they just killed people that took away power from them. And now, same thing with Paul. And by the way, the disciples, 11 out of the 12 disciples, were killed in horrific manner because they were pointing at Jesus as the true leader. And now they're doing the same thing with Paul. They already tried the same tactic 2 years ago. They said, hey, can we just move him and we'll ambush him on the way and we'll kill this guy. And now they're asking him the same thing. It's just crazy, right? You shall not murder. And here they are plotting murders. You shall not lie. They're accusing Paul of things he did not do. He just didn't do them. And yet they're lying. You shall not lie. Well, in this case, we will. And so then the third commandment to me, it's a little bit of a stretch, but I think the Bible says that you shall not have no other idols, but you have no other gods besides me. But I think they're worshiping their power. Like, that's what drives them. And so they're essentially, like, not looking at what God is doing. They just want to hold their power. And to the point that they are willing to kill. Like, what drives you? And I mean, I don't know if there's anything on this planet that... Well, there's a couple things. Like, if someone tried to hurt my family, I think I'd be ready to murder. I don't know. Am I confessing too much on live TV? Like, Facebook? I don't know. But I can't think of too many things where I am willing to lie and murder to save parts of my life. And yet here, the people that God originally entrusted to run his family, to run his church, are lying and murdering the very people that are actually pointing to him. That's why they want to take down Paul, because Paul is bringing another message from what they were given. They want to stand on their laws that they're in charge of. And Paul's saying, no, it's all about Jesus. So they are going with everything they've got, tenaciously, viciously, evilly, they are going after somebody that God specifically is using to point people to him. This is not a coincidence. If you start taking God's message seriously and you start sharing with people and people start coming to know Jesus, guess what? You will be attacked. That's just the truth. If you're too comfortable right now, maybe you're not sharing the message enough. I don't know. That's not to guilt you into sharing God's message. I'm just saying, when you start to share who God is and people start listening and people start, you know, God uses you to bring people to him, expect spiritual attack. And a lot of times it's through people that you wouldn't expect. And in this case, the very people that God said, you be in charge of my church, they forget about God, and they get wrapped up in the power. And so they're making decisions that literally went against God. I'm asking you to slow down. Slow down. Pandemics excite us. Financial hardships excite us, make us worried. And it's not always bad things. Sometimes it's good things. Sometimes we get so excited, we make decisions doing good things in the wrong way. Have you ever been excited about something good happening and you forget about the calling that God has called you to? It's easy to get excited and stray off the path that God has given you. So again, like I talked about at the beginning, I want you to be a person that walks steadily with God. So slow down and figure out what's motivating you. What are you spending your time doing? How do you make life choices? And for Festus, it was to keep political power. For the chief priests and Jewish leaders, it was to keep their religious and societal power. For Paul, Paul was different. He wanted to seek and please God. He dealt with things. He was one of the religious leaders, and he was on the wrong side. And Jesus, God literally stops him in his tracks, blinds him, and says, "You're going the wrong way. It's hard to go against me, huh?" And Paul was blinded for a while, literally, and then also spiritually. And it took a couple years for him to really get close to Jesus and get close to God in such a way that now he's willing to do whatever for God. And that's where I would like us as a church to go. We've been through a lot, but I feel like we're going to go through a lot more. And how do we go through that? It's by walking with God. And how do you walk with God? You got to slow down, breathe, and then say, "God, what do you want?" We'll probably make better decisions when we slow down and walk with God. Point number one, seek and please God. Point number two is trust God. It's one thing to seek him. It's one thing to say, "Yeah, I want to please you." It will be, I believe, impossible to do those things well over any kind of longevity without trusting God. One of my favorite parables is the parable of the sower. And a farmer goes out and he takes this seed and he throws it just about everywhere. And some lands on the road. And I'll give you the answers to the test right now. The seeds are God's word, right? It's who Jesus is. It's God's plan for your life. And this farmer's throwing it out there. And on the road, you know, it's like pavement. So when the seed lands, it doesn't get a chance to grow. And so the birds snatch it up. Basically, when some people hear God's word, it doesn't go into their heart, it doesn't go into their mind, and it's stolen away. And so they never get to become Christians. And the second is the rocky soil. So there's lots of rocks in the soil, and so the roots can't really get in there. So when the heat of the day come upon you, basically when life gets hard, if you don't have roots in God, then the plant dies. Your relationship with God is very, very shallow because of the rocky soil. And then the third soil is when there's maybe decent soil, but it's mixed in with a whole bunch of thorny, bristly, you know, bushes. And so the plant might be able to stay alive, but it doesn't produce any fruit. And what that means is basically when you build a relationship with God, you're still going to church, but you're consumed with the worries of this world and the hardships of this world, and you love the desires of this world, so your attention gets taken off of God quickly, and so you're not producing fruit. And again, the point is not, I don't want you to go out and try to produce fruit. If you go try and evangelize people, if you try to grow fruit on your own, in your power, it's not going to work. It's all about connecting with God and focusing on God. And that's why those thorny bushes, basically, the desires of this world take your eyes off of God. That's what happens with so many people. Like Paul, one of the greatest people to point people to Christ, is literally getting plotted against because they're not aiming at God. They're not aiming at God. Are you aiming at God? That's my hope. If you walk away with anything from this sermon, it's I want to seek and please God, and I want to trust him, because the hard times will come. The hard times will come. I guarantee it. Life is rarely just smooth all the time. The hard times will come. What do you do with that? How do you make your decisions? I know for me, like, I find security in my job. I find security when my bank account is doing well. I find security when my relationships are going well. But really, that's all those things will fail you. Those are not the eternal things. the eternal things is my walk with God. And so, yeah, through that. Whew! All right, let's get back to it. I'm going to read chapter 25, 6 through 11, because this is the heart of this chapter where, I'll just read it. It says, 8 or 10 days later, when he returned to Caesarea, he's coming back from Jerusalem. He just went and talked to the Jewish leaders, and they're like, hey, can you do us a favor? Can you kill him? Can you send him to Jerusalem? Because Paul is in Caesarea. Can you send him to Jerusalem? And on the way, we're going to kill him. Is that cool with you? And 8 or 10 days later, he returned to Caesarea, and on the following day, Paul's trial began. On Paul's arrival in court, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem... So, by the way, Festus goes, no, I'm not going to send him over there. If you really want to talk to him, you need to come to Caesarea. So the Jewish leaders do. They come over there. The Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around, and many made serious accusations they couldn't prove. Paul denied the charges. I am not guilty. Check out the trust in God that he's doing what he's supposed to do, and I don't care who comes against me. I'm going to walk with God. He goes, I am not guilty, he said. I have committed no crime against the Jewish laws or the temple or the Roman government. Then Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked, are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there? So Festus does ask, like, do you want to go to Jerusalem? And Paul says, no, this is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well that I am not guilty. If I have done anything worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. He's like, if I've done anything wrong, like, I'm not going against you, but I haven't done anything wrong. So no. And he doubles down. But I am innocent. Neither you nor anyone else has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me. He's literally letting Festus know, I know what they're about. They've been doing this for years. They've been doing this, like, whenever anybody gets in their way, this is what they do. They take down people that are going against them. No. Don't turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar. So check this out. Paul just upped it, man. Basically, what's happening is, it's like a presidential pardon, right? Someone's on death row, and they are appealing to President Biden. President Biden, I need you to, and because of the way the Roman rule is, and because Paul is a Roman citizen, he literally gets to go to the highest power in the land. And so Paul says, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And so Paul's just trusting the system. He's like, God, I'm here. Let's do this. But I'm not going into the hands of the guys that are trying to kill you. That's not how this is supposed to go. And so this puts Festus in a crazy spot. Because think about it. If a governor of one of our states really is going to set somebody up with President Biden for an appeal to get off the death sentence, Festus needs a reason why he's even imprisoned. And so, like, Paul knows, Festus knows, the Jewish leaders know, everybody knows that Paul should be set free. He hasn't committed any crimes that have been provable. Festus says this in the chapter. He's telling to the Jewish leaders. And so now he goes, I'm about to send this guy to Caesar, and I can't even really tell him why he's being imprisoned. I'm going to look dumb. Like, I am not doing a good job because I have this guy in prison. He hasn't done anything wrong. And now I'm sending him to Caesar. What am I going to do? And so the rest of the chapter is Paul talking to another king from another area, King Agrippa, and his... I forgot her name. Anyway, somebody that's with King Agrippa, Bernice, I think it was. And he is actually more familiar with the Jewish ways, so he's like, I'll talk to them because they know about the Jewish ways. Maybe they can help me. How do I send this guy, Paul? You know, I'm just looking for any kind of solution. And so his securing his political power is crumbling, so he's looking for anything else. And so the rest of the chapter is just him talking to them. And then actually the next chapter, 26, so I don't want to steal any thunder from the next person who speaks, but the next chapter is Paul before Agrippa and Bernice, and it's, spoiler alert, Paul breaks down his testimony, and he breaks down the gospel. So tune in next week as well, because it's a legit chapter. It is awesome. But basically, like, Festus is in this trouble because he cannot, like, he's just stuck. Paul's done nothing wrong, and so he's stuck. And I love Paul, man. And here's point number three. Point number one was seek and please God. Point number two is trust God. Paul is just trusting God, like, God, let's do this. And number three is follow God. That's what makes Paul one of the greatest Christians ever to live, because he followed God. It's not that he didn't make mistakes. He made mistakes. But he followed God with everything. He knew where eternity was. It's with God. He's very much like King David. When King David messed up, you know what he asked for? He said, God, please don't take your spirit away from me. King David knew that the Holy Spirit hanging out with God is the most important thing in his life. Paul knew the same thing. Paul walks with God. In fact, when he's talking to some people near the end of his life, he's like, look, if I stay on this planet, it's for you guys. Because I'm just going to keep pointing you to God. So the longer I'm here, it's good for you guys, because I'm going to keep pointing you to God. But if I die, like, he's not scared of death. I mean, he's scared of probably, you know, pain and stuff, but he's like, if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with God. That's good for me. When I'm here on earth, it's good for you, because I'm pointing you to him. But if I go to God, like, he's just, man, he follows God because he trusts him. He trusts him. I love it. So, man, I want to be Paul. Because you can tell the motives of Festus. You can tell the motives of the chief priest. And you can tell the motives of Paul. So, yeah. Man, follow God. Like, as you... There's been a lot of political issues going on. There's been medical issues going on with the pandemic. There's racial issues going on with turmoil with Asians and African Americans, and almost every race is having some sort of issues, whether you're on one side or the other. There's economic issues for a lot of us. There's just so many issues. And so right now, we can get distracted quickly. And those are the bad things. There's also good things, like, that we get caught up in. It's important to slow down and follow God. And to follow God, you have to be able to know where he is. And that's the whole reason. You got to seek and please God, and you got to trust him. And through those things, then you can follow God. When he takes you to difficult places, or you get excited and you want to go off the path that he's set before you, you got to slow down and go, I'm going to follow you. Pastor Nathan's been telling us to read Proverbs, because literally the Proverbs point you to what wise people do. Wise people continue to follow God and do things the right way, whether it's easy, whether it's hard. And foolish people don't. Foolish people get tricked every time. That's why they're fools. They're foolish. They get tricked so easily, and they walk off the path that God wants them to. Let's be less foolish and more wise. Slow down, trust God, and follow him. And that's basically the point of the application. I'll move to application. Point number one was seek and please God. Two is trust God. Three is follow God. The application is breathe and allow God to grow you. And I'm going to read a couple verses that you're like, is that really the verse you're choosing for breathe and allow God to grow you? Yes. Breathe and allow God to grow you. How do you do that? And I'm going to read Romans 5:3-5. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this, we can rejoice also when we run into problems and trials. Have you been running into problems and trials? Then listen to this. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know, maybe you don't know, maybe this is the first time you're hearing what to do as you go through trials. It says, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. Do you look at trials and problems as a way to build up endurance, or do you just look at it as a problem and life sucks? Man, I'd remind you of point number two, trust God. If he's allowed you to come here, maybe it's an opportunity to build up endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Is your character weak? What do people say about you? What do people say about your character? If you ask people, that's kind of a scary thing. Go ask some of your friends that know you the best. Hey, what do you think I need to work on in my character? Because people are quick to tell you the good things, because that's the easiest stuff to talk about. But ask them, what part of my character do I need to work on? Man, I love Pastor Nathan because he gives it to me straight. I love my wife because she gives it to me straight. It's not always fun to hear these things, by the way. It's not fun to talk about the holes in your character. But when people are real and they're being led by God, man, there are moments that if you're open to hearing what God is saying through these people, you can grow close to God. And you can, man, anyway, I'll keep going. And as endurance develops strength of character, character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. In other words, as you go through trials, if you don't try to block them, if you don't try to ignore them, if you don't try to skirt them, but if you walk through them, they can build up endurance. The endurance really, literally can, if you're aimed at God, can build up the character of who you are. You can become a person of God. You can become a peacemaker. You can become who God wants you to be. And as you become who God wants you to be, that builds on your faith. That creates a hope that will get you through anything. That's where Paul is. At the beginning, Paul is not, his hope of salvation is different. Paul told people, man, I was the worst. I was killing people. Actually, that goes in the next chapter, so I'm not going to go there. You'll listen to that next week. But Paul will tell you, I was not always going the right way. But now, at this time, Paul's like, bring it. I'll go talk to Caesar. I don't care. I've been through the trials. His character's already strong. His hope and salvation is amazing. That's where I want us to get to. So that's why I'm saying breathe, slow down, and allow God to grow you through these trials, through these difficult situations. Don't get excited and run away or try to battle on your own, but allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. You're not going to accomplish anything without him. The Bible says you can do nothing without me. But when you're connected to him, you're aimed at him, you're trusting him, seeking him, pleasing him, and you follow him, man, I am excited to see what God's going to do through your life. That, in a silly, kind of funny way, I brought these up. Golf. Golf, to me, is one of the most fun games that you can play. But I'll be honest with you, when I first started playing, I did not have a good time because golf, until you're a pro, is a very frustrating game. You're trying to put this little ball, this is not a real ball, but whatever. You're trying to put this little ball in a little cup hundreds of yards away using these weird sticks, these metal sticks, to hit them closer and closer to the goal. And you miss the goal over and over. The far shots might a lot of times go way away from the cup. The mid-range shots, sometimes I go way too far. I whiff it and it just, it doesn't go far enough. And then on putting, when you're actually near the cup, you're almost there. Sometimes you shoot it way past, or you shoot it short, shoot it to the left, to the right. And by the way, these mean people, they design the golf course to make you miss. They put sand traps, they put trees. I'm like, why? This just make a nice straight, and wherever you put it, it like it's like a hill that takes your ball to the cup. Life's not like that. There's a whole bunch of trials and stuff. And so I bring this up to say, when you hit it and it does not go where you want it to go, you can get mad, frustrated, quit, or you can say something that Pastor Nathan's been trying to teach us for a while. Oops, I didn't hit that right. And sometimes they'll tell me, hey, yeah, you picked your head up. They start telling me what I did wrong. And I can get mad at them. Or I can receive what they're saying. I can learn from my mistakes. Oops. And take a sip of my Gatorade or whatever I'm drinking and just have fun. Enjoy it. The golf course can be one of the most frustrating places you've ever been, or it can be one of the most beautiful. They hire people to make it look pretty. Are you going to enjoy it, or are you going to get upset? You know, is your golf game like this? Is your spiritual game like this? Or is it like, nah, we're having a good time with God? Even through the trials, are you at peace? Do you have true joy? Would you like true joy? If you do, seek and please God, trust God, follow God, hang out with God. Like, man, if you're with God, what's going to stop you? Man, and God says, it's going to be hard for a short time, but I got you for eternity. Think about that. It's going to be hard. There's going to be trials on this life, but I got you for eternity. Let's connect with him. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for examples like Paul. I thank you for the examples where he messed up. I thank you for the places where you show us that he wasn't doing right and you brought him to you. Heavenly Father, bring us to you. We can't find you, God, but you can show yourself to us and we can accept you. God, we cannot accomplish the things that you want us to accomplish without you. So, Heavenly Father, help us to connect with you. Help us to be with you. And Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you. So, Lord, help us. Help us to understand the reality of who you are, God. Help us to know these are not just stories. Paul's not just some character, but he was a real person going through some real stuff. And Heavenly Father, let that penetrate into our hearts and our minds. Help us to walk with you through real stuff. Lord, I bless anybody that listens to this, Heavenly Father. Open their eyes to who you really are. Open their ears to really hear you. Open their hearts and their souls to accept you and to walk with you through the hard times, through the good times, through the storms, through the nice sunny days. Heavenly Father, just help us. We need you so much. And help us to help each other, Lord. Help us to be there for each other. Help us to be one as you pray. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. I love you guys. I can't wait to see you guys next week. All right? See you later.